morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming today on this beautiful Sunday morning. Please rise as you are able so that we might come together as God's people to worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Children of God, listen. The Lord has done marvelous things. Teach your children all that God has done so they may live in peace. Listen to God's word so we may live in the light of the Lord. Share it with our children and children of the world. Let us listen. Let us live. Let us worship God.
Bye. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the children's book Stone Soup, but somebody decided that, you know, they were all hungry in this neighborhood and or in this country area, and somebody said, well, we'll make stone soup and we'll be able to feed everyone. And people are going, yeah, right. So somebody threw the stone in the boiling water, and somebody said, well, I have an onion I can add. And somebody says, I have a carrot I can add, and I have a potato I can add. And they ended up with this wonderful stew. And everybody was fed, and everybody was happy. Well, when I read Chenoa's newsletter about how everybody was bringing things together so that they could feed the community, my first thought was, oh, stone soup. But anyway, one of the for our collection for November, which are the Peruvian children that Chenoa is associated with, or her joining hands is associated with, is a Presbyterian church, the House of God Presbyterian Church, and they have been taking food out to the community, so people have baskets of food and food to make help them through this pandemic. But sometimes somebody will bring something, somebody else will bring something, and somebody else will bring something, and so they will all have a meal, a potluck, stone soup, you pick it. That is one of the ways that this collection during November will be helping the Peruvian children. The other one is the School for Children Who Are Deaf, because they are not serviced by the Peruvian public schools to learn sign language. So that is another agency or school that we're going to help with. This collection that we are doing in November replaces many mission opportunities we would have had during the year. But most specifically, we used to do a collection for Chenoa in May, and we could not do that. We have done the shoeboxes in the past, which is reaching children globally, but this way, this is more specific, and we know that the money will go and be used the way we want it to be used by supporting this. And the other one is we usually do a Thanksgiving offering around this time. And so those three collections that we've done in the past are being replaced by this one. So if this is someone that touches your heart, knowing that we have this partnership with Chenoa and have a relationship with her, and she is a very sincere person in dealing with what's going on in the country of Peru and the people and their needs, if you feel touched to donate to this collection, just make a check out to Trinity United Presbyterian Church. Make sure you put Peruvian children in the memo line, and they will be very appreciative of anything they receive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy and Kathy, and thank you for all who have served this country. The scripture reading from today comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with the lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Corey. It's good to hear God's word. Entirely different tone after that beautiful anthem. A friend of mine got married a few years ago. And as younger women usually do, we weren't so young, we spent some fun hours scanning The Knot and Brides magazines. We looked for dresses and other wedding delights. You know how it goes. And that is where I ran across a list of bridesmaids' duties. It was 22 items long and covered a whole 8.5 by 11 page. Included were such things as offer to help the bride with pre-wedding tasks, from addressing invitations to choosing the wedding colors and nodding enthusiastically when she waxes poetic about wedding cake. Host or co-host a bridal shower for her. Help shop for the bride's and the bridesmaid's dresses. Play hostess during the reception. Show guests where to sit. Direct them to restrooms. Tell them where to put the presents. And invite them to sign the guest book. You know, all that stuff. Keep the bride laughing. For the stressed out bride, laughter can be an effective vent. I like the part about laughter. There is nothing more grisly, to a pastor anyway, than an angry, over-the-top bridezilla. But nowhere on that list was there anything about waiting patiently for the bridegroom or coming to the reception hall with plenty of lamp oil so it can light the night skies until dawn, or skillfully trimming lamp wicks, or walking the bridegroom into the wedding reception. Now, we've all seen brides and grooms lately and their parties, they dance into the reception hall, but, you know, different situation. Back then, tradition was that the bride stayed home with her parents while the guests and the groom made their way from his home to the bride's. And along the way, he was met by the bridesmaids and more guests, all of whom lighted torches and lamps to make the celebrational parade more festive.
And finally, amidst noisy, happy chaos, the company would head over to the bride's home, gather up siblings, aunts and uncles, and the bride, and proceed to the groom's family home, where a huge banquet filled with all the delicacies of the day were served for hours on end. The party till dawn thing was even a custom shared with most pre-COVID weddings today. Anyway, this is the kind of wedding that Jesus and his mother actually attended in Cana. And it's the kind of party Matthew has chosen for this parable about the kingdom of God. Now, small communities of believers had sprung up around this region in Palestine over the 40 years since Jesus' crucifixion. They wanted to hear all about the man they called Savior. And they also fervently believed his return would happen during their lives. Yet many of the first believers were already dying away, and Jesus was nowhere in sight. Times were tough for these early followers, and they desperately wanted him to return now. And this is the social stew into which Matthew stirred today's story from the great teacher. So I wonder, how often do we have to wait for news we long to hear? Perhaps it's a doctor's report that our body is healing from the radiation treatments we received. Yeah? Or it's news that a vaccine is actually available that will stop this stupid virus in its tracks. Maybe it's a letter from a friend that we can't visit with right now. You remember that British TV show, As Time Goes By? Anybody? No? Yeah, at least one. Okay. Well, it's about this surprising reunion of two middle-aged people who were madly in love before the man had to go off to war, and whose battlefield love letter never reached the woman, even for many, many years. She had waited and waited, but after a time, her hope faded, and she came to believe he was gone forever. Unlike the TV show, we don't know why the bridegroom in Matthew's story was delayed. He simply doesn't appear. Meanwhile, the bridesmaids arrived on time and prepared, at least minimally, to serve in their supportive friend roles. But the wait becomes long and the hour late. And they all drift off to sleep, only to be awakened by shouts of, "He's coming! He's coming!" It's then, in all the excitement, that half the women discover they haven't brought enough supplies to last the entire celebration. They ask the others to share, but are sent out to find their own supply. Like, where are you going to do that in the middle of the night? While they're gone, the bridegroom arrives, collects those who are on hand, and heads into the banquet hall. Now, there is judgment in this story. Matthew calls those bridesmaids foolish, and they're barred from entering the party. All that is interesting. But there's a hidden gem here. Remember that Jesus said, "Keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This story invites followers to wait patiently for Jesus' return. Patiently. Patience is a virtue. And without it, any weight can be a frustrating crazy maker for even the most well-balanced person. But it's hard to be patient, especially with all the stressors floating around in our world these days. Bosses demand compliance with new rules. Realizing the virus is really swirling in our county and having to figure out, yet again, that it's safe to even walk into the grocery store. Deciding what to do about the surgery the doctor is proposing. And the list can go on. In fact, this list is way longer than the 22 items in the Bride's magazine. And often, we think it all must happen immediately. We're out of time. Life can't wait. Or so we think. Yet God asks us to wait, especially for the return of the bridegroom. And stressful though it may be to wait, Matthew even says, "You know neither the day nor the hour," which only heightens our desire to know when the wait will be over. We're human. When will the vaccine arrive? When can we all sing in church again? When will we really know who our next president's going to be? When will the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of peace, truly come to this earth? As much as any of us would prefer it, life does not always give us what we want when we want it. So the question is, how do we wait? How can we remain patient when we feel like we need the result we want right away? Here, Matthew seems to say we need to prepare for what lies ahead while we wait. Now that's easy to say, but it's very hard to do when you really aren't sure just what life will actually look like when the answers do come or after the decisions are made. How do you wait? Well, let's just put it out there. First and foremost, we can never control earthly matters. The future is pretty much out of our hands. So let's look at this another way. I think Jesus is encouraging his listeners to open our lamps, look down into the darkness, and make sure we have enough oil. Kind of like you do with your car, right? You look down to see if there's oil in there. We need to make sure we are well stocked so we can wait and then move ahead into whatever the future holds for us. And I believe the resource we will need the most as we wait is the one we hold deeply within ourselves, our relationship with God. For when we respond to any of life's situations from the depths of a strong faith in God, we can experience life as less stress-filled and more loved-filled. When we remember, when we trust that God is with us, even when it seems that God is far off or late, then we can meet the world's demands with an inner calm. Unlike modern-day bridesmaids who have lists and lists of tasks to accomplish, we just have one duty. That is to love and serve the Lord with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and love our neighbors as ourselves. To do that means remaining in close relationship with God. And the Creator has given us exactly the gifts that we need to accomplish that one task. And with those gifts, we'll be able to wait patiently when we yearn deeply for answers right now. And then we'll accompany the bridegroom, Christ, offering light that will last through even the darkest of times. The bridesmaids waited to perform the task of lighting the path for the groom on his way to the wedding feast, and they even napped. Those who had taken the time to look deep into their lamps in careful preparation for that journey were able to wait patiently until the groom arrived, even though they waited far longer than they had planned. Meanwhile, those who hadn't prepared stressed out and missed out. Matthew's first readers found waiting for Jesus' return stressful. Without his presence, the hardships of Christian life were overwhelming. And the challenges of our lives today can be extremely stressful, too. No, we're not facing death in a Roman arena for our faith. But standing up for our faith can sometimes be a very emotionally challenging task. Still, we can breathe through those hardest times with prayer and praise and thanksgiving, some of which can be witnessed by our service to others, and all of which build stronger relationships with God. These activities, prayer, praise, thanksgiving, service, are the oil that we'll need to wait for the Lord and create greater inner resources with which to meet each new day. And in so doing, we'll become bridesmaids who fulfill our duty in God's peace to light the way into God's kingdom. Amen.
The brief confession of faith was added to our church tradition in 1983 in celebration of joining together of the northern and southern branches of the Presbyterian people. Will you please stand as you are able to say these words of our faith in God? In life and in death, we belong to God. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In the sovereign love, God created the world. Good makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God and others and ourselves. Accept lies as truth. Exploit neighbor and nature. Threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. That God acts with justice, mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home. God is faithful still. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
At this time, I would invite Jane Reed to come forward to serve as session member as we install David Perkey to the office of ruling elder and John Meyer to the office of deacon. Jane, would you stand at the lectern? And David and John, there's one blue piece of tape down here on the step, and just imagine that there's a second one over here. We'll keep our social distance this way. And if you all, you can stand there. You might want to go over a little bit, David. There you go. That's perfect. Okay. Jane, I appreciate that you're here. I appreciate that you two have said yes and have been voted upon. Let us begin. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. Our common calling is to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to serve as elders to assure that Christ's ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world and for ordering the governance of the church. Representing one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church.
The session of Trinity United Presbyterian Church now installs to service as ruling elder David Perkey and as deacon John Myers.
This is a time to renew your commitment to Christ. It reminds us all to bear gladly the yoke of Christ given in the covenant of baptism as remembered by the font that stands between you and links you together in service. Gentlemen, the constitutional questions are this. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? If so, say I do. Do you receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, say I do, and I will. Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by your confessions? If so, say I will. Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the order of God's Word and Spirit? If so, say I will. Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If so, say I will. Do you promise to further the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church? If so, say I do. Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, say I will. David, question for you. Will you be a faithful ruling elder watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say I will.
Do we, the members of the church?
I need to ask John a question. It's not okay. I'm sorry. John, will you be a faithful deacon, serving the people, providing for their care and nurture, giving love as Christ taught us to love one another? If so, say, I will.
No? Do we, the members of the church, accept David as ruling elder and John as deacon, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do. Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If so, say, we do.
Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages, you have been faithful to your covenant people, whom you have called out of bondage and redeemed to be your own. We thank you for men and women in every age who have nurtured your people in faith and faithfulness. Above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Holy Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did. O gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, John and David, as well as upon the whole church who you called through baptism and marked as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that they may show his compassion in daily life and rightly govern your people. Give them the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. Give to your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your present, this day and forevermore. Amen. David, you are installed as ruling elder. And John, you are now installed as deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Gentlemen, be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole lives will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. The Lord has called you to the labor of the ministry of the church. So go out and serve the Lord. Amen. Let us welcome John and David to their service. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, it is really hard to wait for anything we want, whether it be a vaccine that will knock out this stupid virus, or good news from our doctors, or about a job. Waiting is hard. Waiting patiently is even harder. And yet God has given us all we need to not just wait, but to wait for the Lord's return, for the greatest gift that we can imagine. All we need do is use the gifts of remembering to pray and to praise God and to give thanksgiving, and especially to act with mercy and compassion towards others. Find ways to serve. It makes the time pass, and indeed it is a prayer. So go out. Go out to use your gifts, to wait however long it takes, and know that your wait is not in vain, for you are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And you wait in the company of the God who loves you, Christ himself who has mercy upon you, and the community that is the Holy Spirit. They all go with you this day and always. Amen.